The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown!
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. As always, my name's Matt and Alex. Welcome again.
Hello.
Well, we're into a very exciting period. Training camp's just around the corner. And we start off first with the Bills news. There was quite a bit on in the last week or so. First of all, we're going to start off with the news of the sudden retirement of safety Raphael Bush. Apparently this was he was thinking about this during the Bills break and decided after 9 years to actually retire just before training camp.
I'm used to it, right? We should be used to it.
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't during the season or during a game.
Okay. It's not Jordan Poyer, you know?
Yeah.
So. I mean,
they've signed, surprise, surprise, they've signed a guy with a Panthers connection that was on the squad when McDermott was there, Kurt Coleman, to a one-year deal. My feeling why Bush retired, possibly the fact that either he felt that Ciaran Neal, by reports, have had a good mini camp and OTAs were probably a bit ahead of him, and they maybe feel, or he maybe feels that he's getting the dreaded, I'm sorry, we're going younger in that position, and with Neil be able to play safety and been working on the nickel, maybe it's a case of they were going younger. But until he gives us a statement or an Instagram, Twitter post and all that, I think all we can do is just speculate the reason why he's decided to pack his bags.
Maybe it was because he's only a 71 in Madden.
Possibly. Yeah. I know they've been going that, but it was also. But then he's got one claim to fame, being a Bill. I mean, recently just found out this tweet that he's actually finished his career more rushing yards with zero rushing yards than former Bills back Reggie Bush, who ended with -3. So he's got one claim to fame with the Bills.
Yeah, I mean he was the better Bush. So yes, that's great.
But
I used to love Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
He was the guy for a bit, you know, and like coming out of college he was great, and then he just all of a sudden after a few years just fell off. I mean, we signed him, I'm like, oh great. If we can use him properly, this should be good. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
That was a train wreck. I don't know what happened there.
But that's the past. We've gone back. We've got the new stable now, so
yeah.
He'll leave with the notion being probably the worst running back the Bills have had.
I'd say so. Yeah. I mean at least in terms of someone who has a name that came here and did nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, from that same draft class, I mean, we had Leinart on the roster for a minute, and we had, it's escaping me, the other quarterback, Vince Young, on the roster for a minute. So that whole draft, we're like, hey, come play for the Bills. Come and finish your career with the Bills.
Yep.
That stuff.
That's all in the past now. But. Yep. I mean, another question. Obviously, back in the day, do you still play Madden, or do you love, or did you used to like play Madden? Do you still play Madden?
My God, I used to love Madden. Madden was my game back in the day. We would have tournaments and stuff, and there was trash talking galore. I can remember multiple games I've had with friends that, like, I can remember how it finished, what trash talk was used, what things in the house got broken afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been called many a names for taking for kneeling at the end of a game instead of just running up the clock because I can't say it here, but yeah, whatever. But I mean, I won the game, so take it,
Yeah.
Deal with it, Devin from McKinley High School.
Yeah.
Lost, buddy. Deal with it.
Yeah, I used to do the career mode as the general manager / coach and all that, and.
Oh, I love playing as a general manager. Yeah.
I will admit this that I used to cheat a lot. I used to sign really top free agents at the start and actually try and trade them off for multiple picks.
No, that's fine. You can still do that in this year's game. I mean, I did the same thing in Madden 19. I took all of our guys, all the old guys, traded them for like second and third round picks. I got draft picks for it. If I did it right, if you find the right teams, you can have like seven picks in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was always looking for. But the reason I'm talking about that is recently the Madden ratings come out, and once again, it's plain to see that they've probably screwed over the Bills again, with the highest rated player being Micah Hyde. Josh Allen has 74 rating, which is even two less than Lamar Jackson, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's a travesty. I don't get that. I mean, Josh Allen is in there with Sam Darnold, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill. Better than Kyler Murray, better than Eli Manning, so okay. Better than Tyrod Taylor and Josh Rosen, so. But, I mean, yeah, to say that Josh Allen is worse than Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, you're kind of pushing it there. I mean, Andy Dalton's not a 79.
No.
Marcus Mariota's not a 79. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's there are so many people that are actually, in my opinion, they're a bit underrated in there. With obviously Tre'Davious White again not being shown any love outside Buffalo.
Tre'Davious White, I mean, 85. That's not that bad. I mean, I'd say he's a top cornerback in the league, but 85 is a little low. I think Madden really. I mean, compare. Let's do this in Week 16 and see what the ratings are, because it definitely changes.
Yeah.
I mean, would you say Carson Wentz is only an 82? I mean, no, I think he's better than that. But for specifically on the Bills, I mean, do you have the list in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Who's the biggest travesty? Like, who's remarkably underrated in Madden?
I would say, other than Josh Allen, I would probably say, and Tremaine Edmonds, 74, but it was obviously his first year.
I'd say Trey Edmonds. I mean, he's at least a 79,
Yeah.
I mean, he played out of his mind last year. He's the captain of the defense, I'd say. 74 for him is really embarrassing, and it kind of goes to show that nobody watched Bills games last year. I mean, we were a top five defense in the league.
Yeah.
How are you going to give our middle linebacker 74? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm ranting. I'm on fire right now. How is he the same rating as Harrison Phillips and Levi Wallace? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're saying he's only one overall point better than Jason Kroom? Jason Kroom could not have existed last year, and no one would have noticed. And Tremaine Edmonds, they're saying he's only one grade better than him? I mean, come on. Tremaine Edmonds needs to be in the screw 79. He needs to be in the 80s. I mean, he's a starting impact middle linebacker in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, also for me, Matt Milano, he's only a 77.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that leads me back to Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah,
Tremaine Edmonds is better than Matt Milano.
At least we know that. That Ed Oliver was the second highest rookie in the ratings.
Yeah.
Behind Quinn and Williams by one overall rating. So Quinn and Williams, 80. Ed Oliver, 79. Then Nick Bosa, 78. So.
Mitch Morse only is an 81. I mean, playing center, it's not like I know who the good centers are in the NFL. But with the start of free agency is when I first heard his name, and that's when I started to do my research on him and everything. For how much he got paid and for how much for what he's done in the league to only be an 81, I mean, that's not one of the top centers in the league.
Yeah.
He needs to be at least an 85.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I do find funny, though, with these Madden ratings, Tyree Jackson, 64 rating. Daniel Jones, the first round selection of the Giants, was 63.
Well, that makes sense to me. He's awful.
So at least we got that's actually kind of funny in that in that sense.
Yeah, that's bad stuff right there.
Yeah. Anyway, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, with training camp just around the corner, I want to give a couple of sleepers for you guys to look out for in any reviews, or if you are attending it through the fan days over there to keep an eye out for. I mean, for me, I would say keep an eye out for Ciaran Neal, Mike Love, who in OTAs and mini camps has been getting the second team reps over Eddie Yarbrough and seems to be impressing the staff quite a bit. So I think he's a true sleeper for that, for one of those defensive end positions. And of course, I'm going to be a bit biased. Friend of the show, keep an eye out for him, Juwan Foggy. I think he's not had many opportunities in minicamp and all that at the moment, but he's raw. He's actually one of those that can play special teams. He said he'll happily play special teams. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's got that experience of offense and defense. He's one where I think that he could be a good, he could be a real sleeper. And I do think that people being a bit more, seem to be a bit more, especially like Bleacher Report and all that, seem to be a bit higher in Terrell Dodson. But I think regardless of the fact that Foggy came from Charlotte, I think that if it was a battle between those two for the last place, I would back, I'd back him, Foggy, every day.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think Juwan Foggy is going to do some stuff in training camp that people are going to notice. And that's how you get on a roster. Just do something that someone could. First thing is, don't make a mistake.
Yeah.
That is glaring. If you follow instructions, if you follow your assignment in the playbook, you can't get like notice cut, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's just have that fire. I mean, that's the kind of thing that Sean McDermott's like, show me that you want to be here kind of thing. Mm. And that's some good stuff. And that's what I like to see the most. I like to see the energy. I mean, when Embedded comes out, is that later tonight, right?
That is later tonight, yes.
When that comes out, all the episodes, that's going to be really exciting. My missus and I were going to watch a movie tonight, but it's probably going to be that instead. Honestly. So could you convince your wife to not watch Love Island and watch Embedded instead?
I could try. It might be hard, but I'll give it a go. She might have to. I might have to do some groveling or something like that, or I might just have to say no. Nope.
Or you might just end up sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. To be honest, no, I won't go there. Not right now.
But yeah, I mean, so that's going to be really exciting to watch. And like my guys for training camp, I'm really interested to see what Duke Williams can do.
Yeah.
I mean, he said all of the right things this offseason about coming in, knowing what to do, working hard and everything. He's got the upside. He's got the talent. He just needs to put it together.
Yeah.
He could be this year's Robert Foster.
Yep.
If an injury happens, then he's really going to get shoved into that spotlight.
Mm.
And the other thing is, for me at least, so I don't, eat my words, if TJ Yeldon's going to be a major guy I'm going to be looking at here. Because if he does stand out, then that could lead to my prediction of McCoy getting cut. I mean, he doesn't play special teams. So my prediction on him is all in. It's either he's going to make the team or he's going to get cut. He's not going to be our fourth running back.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something to see. Especially, I mean, the whole logjam at running back, who's going to stand out, you know?
Yeah, no, it is going to be a very interesting training camp, and obviously we have our favorites. Everyone out there listening to this will have their favorites. I mean, I'll even put up a post on our Twitter page to just ask you for your opinion on who you think we should look out for, who you think will be that sleeper pick to get onto the 53-man roster. I'd love to hear your guys' views. So I'll probably get that up later on Twitter or on Facebook to hear your views on it. So we're looking forward to, was it 23rd? This Friday's training camp, is it? Rookies report on the 22nd, so Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And 24th, 25th, the training camp starts? Or?
Yeah, I know it's this week. I don't have the exact day.
Yeah.
For some stupid reason, every team is different, so.
Yeah. But it's going to be one of those really interesting team building or training camps that we can see who actually makes grade and who makes that impact.
Yeah.
And I guess this ties in lovely with the next section coming up, which will be our wide receiver and tight end positional review. We will have a most of you probably know who we're going to pick or who will probably be picked by the Bills to be the 53. But coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about the guys on the roster bubble and who they may make that little pick. So stay tuned.
David was a guy that was on our draft board and one that we considered drafting multiple times.
And we're back on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues podcast. Thank you for your continued listening and downloading and subscribing to this. And we go into our next section, which we talk about the 53-man roster and also review the wide receiver and tight end groups. Now, let's start with the wide receivers. I mean, no, in no particular order, the wide receiver group is quite a jam in here. We have Cole Beasley, John Brown, Zay Jones, Robert Foster, Andre Roberts, Victor Bolden Jr., Nick Easley, David Sills V, Ray McLeod, Isaiah McKenzie, Cam Phillips, Damari Scott, and Duke Williams. So it's a crowded wide receiver room, but I think between me and you, Alex, I think we can probably say that at least we will see Beasley, Brown, Jones, Foster, and Andre Roberts as at least making the roster.
Yeah, I can't see any of those guys not making it. The only way that one of those guys doesn't make it is if like Zay Jones gets traded because they like one of these younger guys more. But I mean, because I think he would be the only expendable starter. I think you're married to Robert Foster, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. Andre Roberts is your kick return guy. I think maybe Zay Jones is the guy maybe fighting for his starting position here.
It's possible. I mean, you know, you're gonna have. Oh, well, then you can play him any formation. I mean, at times you may see Brian DeBole playing. Brown and Foster both on the outside stretch of field, and then you've got the likes of Beasley, Knox underneath. Maybe they don't think there's a place for Zay Jones, or they may think that if they've got Brown and Foster out, they can even put in Jones and Beasley in the slot to make it a lot more challenging. So yeah, I do agree he is one that potentially could be an issue or could have potential cut or trade ramifications, but it's got to be something really good for him or for him to have probably the worst training camp ever for them not to keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't show up ready and Duke Williams does, you know, or if Ray does, if you know, one of the, you know, anybody, if if someone shows more than him, then I think you have a possible trade chip. I mean, you're not going to cut him.
No.
Because it's better to have more than none.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, he's on my 53-man roster, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, out of the bubble guys, I mean, the bubble guys are Duke Williams, Victor Bolden, Ray Ray, Isaiah, Easley, Sills, Damari Scott, and Cam Phillips. I mean, some of those guys in there are very easily a cut, like Damari Scott, Cam Phillips, Isaiah McKenzie. I think that fifth spot...
I'm not sure on Isaiah McKenzie. I think my personal opinion that it could be a battle between him and Duke Williams for that final spot. He might sprinkle in a bit of Ray Ray McLeod just because he's taken first team reps during OTAs and minicamp. But I wouldn't say that Isaiah McKenzie is definitely a lock for one of the first people to be potentially be cut. I think it's possible. I mean, if he does well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they, if he does well, he did some punt and kick returns last year, maybe he improves on that, gives Andre Roberts a run for his money. But I still think that McKenzie, he could be that gadget type player. But then again, as you mentioned, the last one, we have TJ Yeldon in the 53 at the moment. That probably would make him serviceable and actually dumped. But I think that last spot, in my opinion, would be between McLeod, McKenzie, and Duke Williams.
What do you care more about for that last spot? I mean, do you care more about special teams, or do you care more about receiving ability when it comes to that last spot?
To be honest, with that last spot, I would probably look towards the special team, because you'll have your four main ones. So in this case, Beasley, Brown, Jones, Foster. You'll also have your two tight ends. So you'll have, let's say, for example, you'll have Knox and, let's say, Jason Kroon, for example. So you've got six there already, receivers, and whoever's the running back can play, can do a bit of a catching as well. So I think that fifth and sixth, if they're going to take six, I think will mainly be there to boost up your special teams.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's definitely that spot goes to a special team starter for sure.
Hmm.
I mean, it's definitely not someone who's going to see the field as a wide. If all of the wide receivers stay healthy, which John Brown
possible.
Can't, Colby's, yeah, they'll see time, but they're definitely going to pick the best special teams player instead of the best wide receiver, I bet.
Yeah.
Which worries me, because I want Duke Williams to make this roster. I've been talking about him all offseason.
I think
a guy who could potentially be more than anyone thought.
Yeah. I mean, I could possibly see him being on the gunner role on special teams. I think if they like him as much as people have been saying, and you've been obviously championing for him, they may pull him at training camp and say, look, we think you've got a good shot at making the team. We'd like to see you more on the special team, see how you handle that.
They're definitely going to do that, because I think the reason why he didn't make it with the Rams was because he was like, no, I'm a wide receiver. Okay, you're, you know, kind of thing. He was a hardhead. But, I mean, if he's saying that he's willing to do anything, then he's definitely going to be put on special teams, and he's just to show up there.
I mean, you can't discount really any of the wide receivers. They all have their own different skill sets. I mean, Zion McKenzie's been in the league for three, 4 years now. He's been a jack of trades. He can run, catch, and all that. Got Raymond McLeod. He was a draft pick last year. Has had a really down year. Wasn't really that really type of wide receiver they were looking for.
Yeah,
but
cool guy.
He's improved a bit during training camp and has had sprinklings of first team reps. you've got David Sills. They liked him quite a lot, that they would have him. They actually made him one of the priority free agents. Okay, it took a while for him to sign on for it, but with him, you've got that knowledge, you've got that raw prospect that has been showing up in training camp and pulled off some good plays. Nick Easley, another undrafted guy from this year, more of a slot player, could benefit from Cole Beasley and learning from him, because I've seen highlights and people have seen highlights of Nick Easley and the way he actually runs his routes. Someone learning from Cole Beasley would actually benefit him, so he might be a candidate for the practice squad. And then you've got Victor Bolden Jr., had a couple of games, had a couple of punt kick returns, possibly could do something. Then you've got Cam Phillips and Damari Scott. I think they're the ones that are probably going to be one of the first to be cut, even though there were some people that were quite high on Cam Phillips last year.
Yeah. I mean, out of the first cuts, you're going to see a lot of offensive linemen and a lot of wide receivers, I bet.
Yeah.
There's just so many of them. So, I mean, so make a pick. I mean, so your top four are Zay, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. And then Andre Roberts is your six as the kick returner. So who's your five?
I am going to go with you. I'm going to go with Duke Williams on this one. I'd love to see Isaiah McKenzie do it, but I think they've been trying to get taller and a bit more stronger in the wide receiver department. I assume they like what they saw in Duke Williams and what he could do. If he could play special teams, work on special teams, I would have him as my number five.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, guys like Ray Ray and Isaiah, I mean, I even like David Sills, you know, but I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a general manager, because you got some guys here that can probably play that you're going to have to cut, you know?
Yeah, which is a testimony to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, that they're starting to pick up those players and sign those players, where some teams will think he's just going to get a cut, he's not going to catch on, but there's certain people will think, okay, yeah, they've signed him, I think he can do well. I think we would regret if he got cut and actually signed on with someone else. Because
I mean, I can't speak to previous regimes having guys cut that I cared about. So I think that we're really building a roster here, which is pretty good.
So we're going to go for the wide receiver 53, or on the 53, of John Brown, Robert Foster, Cole Beasley, Zay Jones, Andre Roberts, and Duke Williams.
You're just making up guys now.
Yeah, Andre Andre Williams and Duke Roberts.
Yep.
Combine both.
Yep, they'll both be on the team. Get them on the team.
So we'll lock those in on the roster.
Yes. I think this is a pretty easy show, because tight end is next, and I think that's pretty much easy as well.
Yeah, I mean.
There's one big question mark, is what do they do when Croft comes back? But in terms of if he starts off the year on IR, the four, three, four, how many do you have?
I have four.
Yeah. Four as well for me, which I think may be too many.
It's possible. I mean,
I just hate the tight end position. I don't care about it. Just keep Lee Smith in there for blocking. I don't need a receiving tight end. It's never been my style, but that's just the offense that I would run. It's also because the Bills have never had one that's been a big...
Yeah, since Pete. Since Pete Mazzella.
Metzler's. But, yeah. I mean, hell, Metzler's, he's no Tony Gonzalez, you know? He's not even a guy who would be, like, a top 10 in the league now, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk about them in a minute.
No.
So, who are your four?
My four, if we're excluding Croft as being on the injured reserve, the four on the roster excluding him would be Kroom, Knox, Sweeney, and Lee Smith. When Croft, if they decide to keep him when he comes back off of the IR, I see them dropping Sweeney for Tyler Croft.
Yeah, 100%. I have nothing to argue with on that. I mean, that just makes sense, you know?
Yeah, because they'll keep Smith because, in my opinion, and probably most people's opinion, he's one of the best blocking tight ends, and they're trying to beef up the protection for Josh Allen and obviously help the run game a bit more, and he's an underrated pass catcher as well. You've got Dawson Knox, who's actually had a really good OTA mini camp and has actually started to become a favorite and a good target for Josh Allen. You've got Jason Kroom, who has that rapport ready, converted wide receiver tight end. So he's got knowledge of both positions, so can be used potentially as an emergency wide receiver if needs be, but obviously tight end. And then who's the other one? Who's the other one? I forgot. Smith, Kroom, Knox. Who's the other one? Tyler Croft, yeah, obviously, when he comes back.
Nate Becker.
Oh, Nate Becker. Oh, yes. I think he's a candidate for the practice squad. They signed him late. They signed him after minicamp, so he's either there as just to make camp numbers, or they see someone in him that they'll try and stash him on. So I would say, if we're talking as Croft coming back, you go Croft, Kroom, Knox and Smith. If Croft's still injured by the time the 53 man comes round, I see Kroom, Knox, Smith, and Sweeney.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see it any other way. I can't imagine anybody else sees it any other way.
I think some people potentially would see Kroom being cut, but
yeah,
I can't.
He's the only guy who can like start right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not ready to trust a rookie at tight end. I mean, if we're going to run to that side, you know, I mean, name me a good rookie tight end in their first season. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. That's a position that takes some time to figure out. So
the only one I can probably think of would be Gronkowski.
What was his rookie year?
If not, I would have said OJ Howard, but he was a bit hit and miss at the Bucks. The only other people I can think of, Travis Kelce, or is he a late bloomer? Travis Kelce. There was someone I do remember someone actually doing it. It's just names just gone from me. I think he was.
I remember Kellen Winslow being good his rookie year, but that's kind of silly to think about now. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, tight end, I mean, they're going to be the fourth option on the field. I mean, with Beasley being the check down guy, the emergency blanket guy, tight end's going to be that guy who sneaks open because no one's paying attention to him kind of thing. Florida's touchdown last year. So, I mean, those are the four. And then, like you said, when Croft comes back, if he comes back, if he doesn't get cut, if he comes back, then Sweeney obviously goes to the practice squad.
Yeah. Okay. So that would then make our 53-man roster what we believe the Bills would probably go for, as Barkley and Allen as your quarterbacks, your running back stable of McCoy, Gore, Singletree, TJ Yeldon, Sonoris Perry, and DeMarco. Wide receiver, Brown, Foster, Beasley, Jones, Williams, Roberts. And then if we do it as without Croft, you're going Kroom, Knox, Smith, and Sweeney. When and if Croft comes back, you've got Croft, Kroom, Knox, and Smith.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cut and dry so far, I'd say, except for that fifth wide receiver spot. I think when we get to our offensive line positions and discussions, I think that's where you might see some things.
Yeah. Because
every guy that we signed in the offseason, like, ooh, someone who will be better than last year because last year was so bad.
Yeah.
So that is where we're going to cut some guys that people might, you know, be recognizing.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, as I keep saying, and I'll keep reiterating, it's going to be an interesting training camp for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So next we will go on to the all-time Bills team. We'll come back. We'll let you know the results of the previous poll and whose selection won, and then we run through the wide receiver, tight ends, to see what and who each other feel should be merit that all-time team. So we'll be back. And here we go. This is the all-time Bills team on the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Now, last week, we put out polls on our Twitter and our Facebook. The result of that is that for the quarterback, this was won by Alex. So our quarterbacks are Jim Kelly and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Because now, the stats don't lie.
Yeah, you and your stats.
Don't lie.
Well, let's see how you like the second one, the running backs, because the winning choice was my choice with Thurman Thomas and Fred Jackson.
Oh, so you
take that to your stats.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Are all of our listeners just like 13-year-olds who have never seen O.J. Simpson play football before? I mean, okay, yeah, sure. Maybe he murdered someone, okay? Yeah, maybe he spent more of his life in jail than he did on the football field. You know, whatever. Okay, hang on, calm down. That does matter. He is a horrible human being. But he was a really good football player for the Buffalo Bills.
Yep. That's what everyone should focus on. But
I'm struggling to say light years better than Fred Jackson, but my God, I love Fred Jackson so much.
I think it's the Fred X Ashier won over the undrafted free agent from Co College.
Oh, you can have your
the first round draft
your Fred X truck all you want. Have your Fred X truck all you want. I'll take the white Bronco. Okay.
Right. We calm now? We calm? Can we move on? Are you still?
I'm breathing. Okay.
Right. Wide receiver. Who have you got?
This one, too. Jeez. So,
who have you got?
Again, my philosophy for this is if I'm going to build a team to play against another team's all-time team, who do I want? So I'm not just looking at who has the best Bills statistics. I'm looking at who is the best player to suit up for the Bills.
Yeah.
I just had a horrible idea. I just had a really bad idea.
What's that?
The best Bills wide receivers of all time are Andre Reed and Terrell Owens.
Really?
Yeah. Because I want to say... Hang on. You go. You give me your two and your explanation. I have to do something real quick. Hang on.
Me, it's going to be, well, obviously, it's going to be Andre Reed. You can't have a Bills wide receiver core without Andre Reed, literally the best wide receiver we've had. And obviously, if we go on the basis of chemistry with Jim Kelly, they were second to none on there. My second one is good old seventh round pick, Stevie Johnson. Don't act so serious on this one, but I think that he was one of the most underrated and probably my favorite Bill when he was actually playing. I think even though he had those few bad drops in times where we could have actually gone to the playoffs, he was just that entertainer that you'd want, and he had those routes he could catch. He could make people miss so badly and break loads of ankles that I just think for a seventh round pick, he was one of the. He's probably up there with the likes of Lee Evans, Andre Reed, Eric Moulds, and who's the other one? James Lofton.
Yeah. All right. So I'm back after some thinking, and I'm gonna add another stipulation to what I just said. So I mean, obviously with Terrell Owens, right? His career before the Bills was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna pick guys that, while they were a Bill, were they all-time material?
Okay. You
know? So with Owens, he was washed up. He played one more season in Cincinnati, and that was bad.
Yeah.
James Lofton also finished his career in Buffalo. If you want James Lofton, you want 1980 to 1985 James Lofton when he was a Packer. So obviously Andre Reed.
Yep.
And you know, I love Stevie so much, and I think that if you gave him a quarterback, he would be posting monster seasons. The things
give him
that
Jim
he
Kelly.
Was, yeah. Give him, God, there's not another. I mean, you say give him Fitz, who was my pick, you know, but I think that team was just so bad. Those teams just couldn't do anything. And you didn't have the right coaches. So maybe not. Keep him with Fitz for sure, because they had a thing. Give them a better coach.
Yeah.
Give them some better complementary players on wide receiver. You know, then you might have something there. I mean,
you're stalling here for that second player behind Andre Reed, aren't you?
Yeah, because Mould didn't have a quarterback either.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Collins, half a season of Doug Flutie for 2 years. I mean, Rob Johnson, Kelly Holcomb. I mean, you don't have quarterbacks there for him. So
he still posted the numbers, though.
And he still posted better numbers than Stevie did, where he was able to at least create a connection with one quarterback. You know? I mean, sure, Moulds had Bledsoe, but, I mean, he wasn't anything, you know, special. Yeah. I mean, he was on that team that could have made the playoffs, but they blew it in the last game against the Steelers. But, I mean, Eric Moulds, man, I mean, I flip-flopped on my second Bills wide receiver four times now. I was going to say Stevie, but then you said Stevie, so I changed my mind. Then I said, oh my God, Terrell Owens. But I was like, oh yeah, no, he was at the end of his career. He was washed up. He wasn't an impact player. Also, unfortunately, he holds the record for longest Bills touchdown of all time. From the wide receiver position, at least.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Terrence McGee holds the longest Bills touchdown of all time. 104 yards from a kick turn or something like that. But yeah, I mean, for wide receiver, if I'm putting up when they were a Buffalo Bill, so it's where they were in their athleticism, in their career, it can't be Owens. It can't be Lofton. I love Stevie, but Moulds did more with less quarterbacking. So I'm going to go with Eric Moulds.
Okay, so we'll put it up on Twitter and Facebook. It'll be Alex and Andre Reed and Eric Moulds versus me, Andre Reed and Stevie Johnson. Let round two begin later on when the podcast goes up. So last positional group, I think it's potentially cut on this one. Really only two real names to go for me, Metzala and Scott Chandler.
Yeah, my God, my dad loved Pete Metzalar's. Whenever he would talk to me about those 90s teams, he would tell me, Pete Metzalars. And I was like, whoa, okay, he's a tight end. you know? So, I mean, looking at Pete Metzalars' numbers, I mean, it's sad because you can't deny that he's the best Bills tight end of all time.
Yeah.
But
just not being recognized.
Who can you compare him to?
Mm.
You know? I mean, it's been a position that we just haven't had.
Yeah. I think they're trying now to address it now, but yeah, I mean,
Metzler spent 9 seasons with the Bills.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the Super Bowl era, 90-91, I mean, he 10 catches, 5 catches, 18 catches. I mean, how is this a guy that I want to have on my all-time team?
Exactly.
I mean,
I think
He's that's only receiving. I mean, he was good. He was on the field all game.
Yeah. You know?
So there's that, and you want that. So, I mean, he's like one by default. But your second was
Scott Chandler.
All right. Please explain to me why.
Again, he's Mr. I would say he's probably a more dependable than the other receivers we've had. I mean, if you put him up against someone like Charles Clay, yeah, you're going to have Scott Chandler over Charles Clay all the time. I just think he's...
Yeah, because Charles Clay can't catch a football.
Yeah, he can't even catch a cold sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But with Chandler, I think he's one of the best. I wouldn't say he's one of the best. He's a good all-round tight end. So you're going to... As I say, tight ends, you just don't need to catch if you can make a career on just catching the football and making plays like the likes of Kelsey, Gronkowski and all that, then fair enough. But the majority of tight ends should know just not just to receive and catch the ball, but also block as well. And I think that he is one of those players that was good all round, and I can't really compare him to anyone else that the Bills have had that could actually do that, that pass, block, and actually still be that player that actually will be that reliable check down target for the Bills.
Well, the correct answer is Jay Riemersma, not Scott Chandler. I mean, you're looking at guys who can have such amazing seasons as 32 catches for 350 yards and no touchdowns.
So, yeah.
How lovely is that to have, you know, on your all-time team? But I mean, that's Riemersma's worst season as a Bill. His best season as a Bill, 590 and 3 touchdowns. His most touchdowns was in 98 with 6, but he only had 288 yards. I mean, and then with Chandler, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a memorable player. I think only because he's like 7'9", but
something like that.
Yeah, he's 6'7". I mean, the dude was a monster of a man. He couldn't run, you know. I mean, yeah, I think Shaq was faster than him, but I mean, his best year, 655 yards. His most touchdowns, 6, in his first 2 years with us.
I mean, if you're going to go on stats, I mean, okay, Riemersma had played 204 receptions, 2,304 yards, 11.3 yards per catch, longest of 38 yards reception, and 20 touchdowns in what's about 6 years. Scott Chandler, 182 receptions, 2,120 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, a longest catch of 43 yards and 17 touchdowns. So, yeah, the stat would receive the probably the slightly favorite on there, but I think it comes down to
blocking, and I think Riemersma was a better blocker than Chandler was.
I
think he was a better run blocker. So,
yeah.
I can't say that's when I paid the most attention to football, but I mean,
yeah.
I was young then with Riemersma. So, if I could remember a guy who wasn't spectacular, then he did something right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of going on it. I mean, you really can't go anywhere else with the tight end position.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much.
Once you get past
not really much on.
I mean, Ruben Gant, okay.
Paul Costa,
Ernie Warlick. I mean, these are guys who, I mean, those are our dad's players, you know. But I think that they're not gonna hold up to what the game is.
Yeah.
Like starting in like the 90s. I mean, these are guys that are playing in the 60s and in 80s. So I think that it just doesn't work that way for an all-time team. I mean, essentially, it's give me the best blocking tight end, because when you have...
That was the case. I'd gone Lee Smith.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes... be a guy... You know, I mean, be able to do it, but when you have Reed and Molds out there, You're not throwing to Jay Reimersma when Andre Reed and Eric Mulder out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that, as you say, tight ends have never been, well, more recently since like the Super Bowl days, have not really been our strong point. So
yeah,
I think this one will be real, and the stats are they're real close as well. So I think this one will be the tightest one of them all, to be honest.
Who was the tight end who had that horrific neck injury? That was Kevin Everett, right?
Everett. Yeah.
He had the neck injury. He was going to be good. He was going to be the guy who could probably... I mean, I had my hopes in him to be the guy who's like, hey, the Bills finally have a good tight end. So here's looking at you, Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
He's the Bills' all-time tight end.
Yeah, I think he's got to get in his career over 25 touchdowns, about 2,800 odd yards or something like that.
He needs three good seasons. That's it. Metzeler's career receiving numbers, 2,900. Just have three good seasons.
Yeah.
It seems so easy. I mean, it's not. But I mean,
it's going to be a tough one. Hopefully,
Delaney Walker, you know?
Yeah. I think I wouldn't say Dawson Knox has big shoes to fill as much, but he has a chance with the Bills and how this offense is going to go to actually really make a name for himself during his time as a Bill. And I certainly hope that he does.
Yeah. I mean, beat Jack Doyle from the Colts. I mean, that's all I want. You know? Give me good years is that.
Today, tight end. So who you got? Whoops. For you, right? First up, I got...
I'm cheating. I'm listening to other people's podcasts.
Oh, my God. No. Don't give the listeners someone else to listen to. Especially to us.
They're all going to stop listening after I keep picking murderers for my all-time Bills team. But I don't think we have any more, luckily. So, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to hear me say it again, but I don't care about tight end. So those are my guys. In 10 years, give me someone else to say.
Yeah. I think, right, so then we'll put that as well to Twitter and Facebook. We'll put Metzeler and Chandler for me, and Metzeler and I've forgotten it now.
Reimersma
for Alex. We're also going to add an others option on there as well to see what you guys think should be as well. So we'll give an others as long as you tell us who you want in the comments. We'll tally that up as well. And again, next week we'll reveal the next couple of members of the Bills all-time team. One quick question for you though: if you had to choose off the top of your head, had to choose one more wide receiver to join the group, who would you choose?
Mine would be Stevie Johnson.
Mine would be Lee Evans.
Yeah, you know, Lee Evans. If he was good, he would have stuck with the Ravens, I think. And that's kind of why I go against Lee Evans there a bit. I mean, he had the deep connection with JP, but what else was there?
Yeah.
So that's my kind of thing with him.
Who knows? One of our listeners may suggest this, and obviously. We appreciate that some people may not like either our choices and want to make their own. So this is what we're trying to encourage. We're obviously trying to make this all-time Bills team a team voted for by you guys. So as I say, from now on, we'll put an others column on there. If you don't agree with our suggestions, please let us have your own. We'll watch you and we'll tally them up and we'll create that fan all-time Bills team.
You got some good ones out there. Peter Price, Josh Reed, Quinn Early. Quinn Early is my favorite.
Yeah.
Before stupid Terrell Owens came along, Quinn Early had the record for longest Bills wide receiving touchdown. So.
Yeah. John Beebe as well.
Yeah, John Beebe. Oh, man. Yeah. You want to talk about who can make it in special teams? Just have these guys on the bubble go watch some John
Beebe. Steve Tasker.
Steve Tasker, too. Yeah, I mean, that's good stuff, man.
Well, anyway, that we'll put those up. We'll leave them up for a week and we'll give you the results next week. Going forward, we're still trying to get a few more interviews for the teams that the Bills will be facing. We hopefully should have something up in the next time for this.
Yep.
Next podcast.
Yeah, I've interviewed the Titans just recently, and you did which
Jets.
Team did you? The Jets. Okay.
Jets,
so we have the next show will highlight our interview with the Jets preview and the Titans preview.
Yeah, we've got the Patriots hopefully coming on Tuesday, so we might squeeze that in there as well. That's going to be a fun one. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But for the next positional review, we will go on to the offensive line, and then we'll also go one by. Well, we'll work out the all-time Bills for the offensive line. We may just do five straight and let you vote for which one, or we may do them individually. We'll make that decision when we come through. But that's what's coming up next episode. So all I can say now is for this time, until next time, it's good afternoon, good evening, good morning if you're listening to this. Hope you watch the Embedded series later on tonight, or whenever you manage to watch it. And all I can say is go Bills.
Go Bills, and you better hurry up because Love Island starts in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
All right. All right, signing off.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.